This is the Uptick Newswire Stock Day Podcast, sponsored by InvestorsHangout.com. Subscribe to us on iTunes, Google Play, and YouTube to stay up to date on penny stock news and interviews, public information on OTC, pink sheets, and microcap stocks from around the world, with your host, Everett Jolly.
On today's show, we have a brand new guest coming with us. We're talking about Nautilus Minerals. Actually, they're calling from us all the way over from Australia. Well, they trade on the OTC markets under the ticker symbol NUSMF. And with us today is the CEO of that company, Mike Johnston. Mike, welcome to the show.
Thanks for that. Pleasure to be here.
Yes, give my listeners a little bit about statement, what you guys are all about and what you guys do.
We're a company that's focused solely on deep sea mining. And when I say deep sea mining, it's looking at resources below sort of 1,000 meters in water depth, or 3,000 feet roughly, and right down to sort of 5,000 or 6,000 meters, so you know, 18,000 feet. So that's our company's niche, if you like, and we're looking at developing essentially a whole new industry where we're looking to exploit resources which are already known in a lot of cases on the seafloor. There's more resources of copper, nickel, cobalt, manganese, all these essential metals that are required for renewable energy targets and batteries and the like, as society moves away from petroleum-based energy to renewable energy. That move is going to require significantly more significantly larger quantities of specific metals, which we are targeting through our deep sea mining program. So that's what the company's about. We're using technology which is coming largely out of the oil and gas industry. The oil and gas industry has been going offshore now for something like 50 or 60 years and has invested hundreds of billions of dollars in developing technology out into the deep ocean. So we've just leveraged off that and married it up essentially with mining technology, continuous mining technology and robotics, which as most people are aware, robotic technology in the last 10 years is just another one of these areas where technology has just exploded. So, it's all sort of come together at the right time.
Absolutely. You know, when I look at your company, I look at that you guys do ocean floor exploring. I was thinking you guys, look for ships and other stuff like that. Why seafloor mine? No, I really did. It sounds like it's very difficult to bring that up.
Yeah, it's a question I get asked commonly. And my background is actually land mining. I started off with small, what in the mining industry are called junior mining companies, and sort of got sort of grabbed by majors during my career. And so the size of the operations that I worked with started off relatively small or modest by mining standards, and then they graduated to very large operations when I was working for a large gold major, Canadian gold major. And The difficulty for land-based mining is that the grades are generally getting lower and lower as people go after the best stuff first. And for things like copper, we've been mining copper now as humans on this planet for over 5,000 years.
Right.
During that time, the best of it, that was outcropping at surface has been taken. New technologies have been developed to find hidden deposits, and there's been some, quite significant discoveries, about once every 10 years, and someone makes a new major discovery in the world of copper. But generally, the grades have been declining over all this time. And like last year, the average grade from open pit mining, copper mining on land, was about 0.6% copper, which is very low and requires, to be economic, you need to have economies of scale. So the footprint just gets bigger and bigger. The trucks get bigger and bigger, the loading machines, the benches that they mine get bigger and bigger. Everything's about size, making it bigger. And because of that, the footprint gets quite huge. And now what humans are also discovering is that over the last 20 or 30 years, people are becoming more environmentally aware, and they're understanding that just digging up all of this waste, because for every ton of ore in an open pit mine, you need to move roughly 3 tons of waste. And that 3 tons of waste, once you blast it, it actually requires an area of about equivalent of five tons in situ to be stored, because it's got what they call void structure. So you end up with this great big footprint, which is produced by the waste and also the tailings, because you have to crush and grind it to extract the metal. So all of these things make mining less and less attractive to some sectors of the community. The mining industry is, you know, constantly trying to improve its image and improve the way it does things. But, you know, we regularly see instances where, you know, things, you know, every now and then something goes wrong. And when it goes wrong in mining, you know, it can be pretty serious.
You Absolutely.
Know? It can lead to deaths. It can lead to large-scale disruptions, you know. And I've seen a few of these in my time in the mining industry alone. So, this is what attracted me to seafloor mining. So when you look in the ocean, the grades of these deposits that we find on the seafloor are an order of magnitude higher a grade than what you see on land. You know, they are the sorts of grades that people, for copper, for instance, our first mine, the average grade of that, just for copper, is going to be around about 8% copper, just under 8%. So
wow.
It's over 10 times higher grade.
Right.
And these are the sorts of grades that right at the start of the Bronze Age, people, when man first discovered how to use copper, you know, he was mining grades of that sort of ilk and higher, you know. Now, we haven't seen those sort of grades on average on land, you know, for the last 3,000 years. So, and the other thing is that there's more resources of some of these metals on land, on the seafloor, than there is on land. I just saw a World Bank report the other day, actually, which was talking about quantifying the resources on land, and I was looking at some of the metals like nickel and cobalt. You know, there's more nickel and cobalt manganese on the seafloor than there is than all the reserves on land, and that's what's already known on the seafloor, and it's at higher grade, significantly higher grade. So the other beauty about it, the final thing that really got it for me on the seafloor was that these things actually just sit on the seafloor, right? You don't have to mine 3 tons of waste to get that 1 ton of material that contains your ore. So what we do is we basically collect this stuff up off the seafloor. In some instances, we have to cut it. In other instances, we just physically collect it. And then we bring it up to the surface. And once we get it up onto a boat up on the surface, we then transfer it to a large bulk carrier. And our current plan is to ship that material to China to be processed. China basically consumes about nearly 50% of just about every commodity that the world produces in terms of metals these days.
Really?
It's of that range, 40 to 50%. Yeah, it's a significant consumer of just about... This is the largest consumer of just about every metal that you can list, right? So it's well and truly overtook the United States, you know, something like 10 years or 15 years ago. So the difference is that China has such a huge population and its metal intensity is relatively low compared to Western countries. But because it's got such a big population, as its metal intensity grows, usage grows, the total tons it consumes rockets. You know? So, and what you're seeing in the West is the opposite. You know, you're seeing metal intensity is largely in places like Europe and the United States is starting to plateau or has plateaued as people become more efficient, right, in the use of metals. So, and you have more recycling. So, in China, it's still going through that growth stage where a lot of it's going into fixed infrastructure and you know, power reticulation, roads, things like that. So those are already in place in the United States, largely. So you're seeing this massive increase in consumption, you know, coupled with a declining grade profile. And so those are the things that attracted me to going out and our team going looking on the seafloor.
I was wanting to know if you could talk about one of your projects in the Bismarck Sea. How's that going?
Yeah, it's going really well. We're in the process, we're on target to be in production in the first quarter of 2019. So that'll be the world's first deep sea mine. All our permits are in place. So we have all our environmental permits. We have our mining license. We're in the process of building the vessel to put all our equipment on. All our equipment that goes below the vessel has been built, and is, we have taken delivery of almost all of it. The last of it is about to come from the US, I think, shortly. It's the big pump that we use. And then all of that equipment will be installed onto the vessel which is being built in China. And then the vessel will go through a series of sea trials and that in the fourth quarter of 2018. And then it trundles down to Papua New Guinea and we start mining in 2019, first quarter.
Where do you see your company in this particular industry, say, 20, 30 years from now?
Well, 20 or 30 years from now, once we start this industry, people, I think it'll go pretty much like the oil and gas industry went, you know, when people started going offshore. And where we sit today, you know, around 30% of the world's production of oil and gas comes from offshore. So I think in 20 or 30 years' time, my belief is don't be surprised to see, you know, 20+% of the world's metals being recovered from the seafloor. And the reason I say that quite confidently is that once you build this first one, you know, we've developed a lot of intellectual property around how to do it and know-how around seafloor mining. So building the next one of these systems is going to be roughly about 50% of the cost of the first one. And then every subsequent system you build is effectively just a linear bolt-on. So it's effectively what in the mining industry or most industries you'd call something like a brownfields development. You know, you're not trying to develop new technology, you're not trying to develop a unknown quantity in terms of ore bodies because you've already developed them. All the technology's been trialed, improved, refined, you know, so the risk profile, if you like, the investment risk profile will be enormously reduced, and it will be just a series of bolt-on linear increases that could, you know, see the seafloor producing something like 20% of the world's metal. And if you look at it in terms of copper, in 20 years' time, the world will be consuming probably something like 40 million tonnes of copper a year. Yeah, that's more copper than the entire world consumed up to the Industrial Revolution.
That's amazing.
Right? So for the first 4,800 years of human existence where they used metals, right, we will consume more copper 1 year than they did for the first 4,800 years.
Well, that's amazing.
So that sort of gives you some idea about, you know, what humans... You know, we have this insatiable desire to consume resources. I guess that's why people, you know, you've got people like Elon Musk and them looking, yeah, you know, the next step out, absolutely, which is, you know, out into space. And a lot of people will say, you know, I go to conferences and that, sit in the back row and watch people, and, you know, and they say, when they talk about, you know, space mining, and people, oh, space mining, that'll never happen. Well, never say never in this business.
Right.
Because they used to say that about seafloor mining. You know, seafloor mining is basically a slam dunk. You know, and space mining, well, give it 100 years. You know, 200 years.
Who knows?
Yeah, that's not a long time frame. You know, when you look at, you know, 2 million years of human evolution or whatever, and, you know.
My guest today is Mike Johnston. He's the CEO of Nautilus Minerals. You know, if not the first, probably one of the first mining seafloor companies that go to the bottom of the ocean and pick up all the different copper, cobalt, silver, gold, zinc, and so forth, trading at 16.5 cents a share. They seem very undervalued to me. Mike, in closing, is there anything that you would like to get out to my listeners that maybe we didn't get a chance to touch upon?
No, I think one of the things that I've seen over the years is that in terms of investors, people who make a lot of money investing, generally they manage their risk profile, but when they see a disruptive technology like, you know, the internet, like Facebook, you know, Microsoft, those sort of things, they all were disruptive technologies, which people at the time looked at and thought, oh, what's this? Where's this going to go? You know?
Absolutely.
So don't miss out. So basically, don't be scared.
I want to thank you for coming on the show today. I wish you nothing but continued success. Hopefully, you'll come back on the program 60 days from now, give us an update of what's going on with your company. You know, very excited to hear more about this ocean floor mining.
Well, we look forward to coming back on. So all the best, and thanks for the interview.
This program is entirely sponsored and produced by Uptick Newswire, LLC, which is responsible for the content. The opinions and information provided on this program are those of the guests and those of the respective companies they represent, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff or management of Uptick Newswire. Uptick Newswire encourages all listeners of this program to do their due diligence and research when determining investment strategies that will work for them, or to seek the assistance of an investment professional. The guests of this program may have paid for its distribution and are not directly affiliated with Uptick Newswire or this station.